Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. Quick favor. If you're enjoying the show, the absolute best way you can support us is by leaving a quick review on your favorite podcast player. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever you're listening to. It literally takes 30 seconds, and here's why it matters so much to us. Those reviews help new listeners discover the podcast. Tell the algorithms we're worth recommending and give us the feedback we need to bring you even better episodes. More of the topics you love and guests that actually move the needle for you. That helps us help you. It's as simple as that. So if the show's been useful, funny, or just made your day a little better, pop over right now, drop a star rating and a couple of sentences. We'll be genuinely grateful. Thanks for being a part of the Around the House crew, and let's keep that conversation going.
You on the radio, yeah, you gotta get on the radio.
Yeah, you gotta get on the radio. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is our show about home improvement, where we talk about this from noon to two each Saturday here. Thanks for listening. If you are just joining us, we've been talking in studio here to my friend Stan Jessup here. This guy is, he's the guy that runs the Oregon CCB here. At least he's the administrator and... You are also the enforcement dude as well, correct?
Couple of different hats right
now.
You
got a lot of different hats. And so we've got the expert in here, which is nice because I want to help you get these projects done correctly. And I want to help you as a contractor follow the rules and be a better contractor as well. Because if you're following the rules, it makes your life easier. And guess what? Everybody wins. Well, the numbers here in the studio are 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. If you've got a question about is how to hire a contractor, or you're a contractor wanting to make sure you're doing everything correctly, this is the number to call. So 877-733-1011 is the number. Well, Stan, I want to talk a little bit about, we're getting into painting season here pretty quick. And I want to talk about lead-based paint for a minute.
Oh, boy.
This is always a good one. And, you know, you see this a lot, and I've seen it. I saw a contractor win a project that was house built in 1977. Mm-hmm. And I know there was lead-based paint in this house because I looked at it with another contractor years ago because he had tested it and found it. What's the best way if someone's having some interior or exterior work done in their house and lead-based paint? What are your recommendations for the homeowner when they're out working for looking for contractors and getting work done?
Well, the contractor needs to have what's called an LBPR license, or lead-based paint renovator's license. They're the only ones that are able to test for the lead. The homeowner can test, but it doesn't mean anything. And the contractor still has to have a lead license in order to even test or bid the job. So you have to find a contractor that's licensed, and then have a license for the LBPR project.
And so that license, basically, for the homeowner to understand this, that is where they've taken the classes and stuff to be, and the test, of course, to understand how to manage the lead-based paint and how to work with it.
Exactly. It's an EPA requirement. State of Oregon regulates the lead-based paint program for the state. We're one of 14 states that do that. And it's actually to the contractor's benefit because we're a little more negotiable and easier to work with than the EPA at times.
Yeah, those guys tend to carry a big hammer and use it a lot. That's my opinion. But so here's the thing. I know people, there's a lot of misconceptions about lead paint out there. Mm-hmm. We all know it's dangerous, I think. I don't think that's a debate. But the question is, oh, it's only a small project. I've heard that used by handymen a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's only a small project. And it could be lead-based paint. It could be a project they're working on. But what are the rules on small projects and lead-based paint?
Well, there's...
In a wide brush. I'm not asking for every... This is not every detail here. I'm just looking for the big stuff.
Well, it's a high level. If you're disturbing more than 20 square feet of exterior surface, you have to have it.
Gotcha.
If you're disturbing more than 6 square feet in any one room interior, you have to have a lead-based paint license.
Gotcha. Okay. So...
Main thing really is to know for the contractor to know how to handle it, how to encapsulate it or contain it so that it's not a hazard.
That way the kids aren't catching it out of the carpet or anything else. You know, I've seen some pretty big disasters out there. I had heard of projects where people had gone in and done some demolition work and, you know, tore up the asbestos and the lead that was in the basement. All of a sudden it was that dust was all over the house. Yeah. You got a heck of a cleanup mess if you're going to do that right.
And it's very hazardous.
Yeah. And that's dangerous, especially with everybody in the house, let alone kids or anything else.
Young children. Yeah. They're susceptible to lead poisoning.
So what is your recommendation? I know this gets down some of the fine lines. I've wondered personally when you've got a company coming in and installing new vertical blinds and things like that around the house where they're drilling lots of little holes. How does that work with some of the more minor trades? Are they going to be okay going in installing blinds where they got to put a couple screw holes in? Or is each one of those kind of considered to be a disturbed area?
Well, EPA defines it by room. So if you disturb 6 square feet, well, in one room, a screw hole is going to be, you know, very, very,
very small.
You'd have to put several thousand in there before you would.
So, so if you got the blind guy coming out, you're good probably in most cases, unless you're running power and having to dig some big holes. Hey, we got a call here. This is going to be a good one. Welcome, Joe, to Around the House.
Hey, Eric, thanks for taking the call. Just a simple question, I hope. Mm-hmm. In dealing with a handyman, is that $1,000 cap, does that include the material as well as labor or just labor? Just trying to get a frame of reference.
Good question. That depends really on what you're contracting to do. If you're the handyman and you're going to do the job and it's going to be $500 for labor and $700 for the material, you can't separate those two.
So if the bill equals anything over $1,000, then that individual should have a CCB license.
That's correct. Now, unless there's some exceptions there. Say the homeowner goes out and buys the material and the labor is under $1,000, so you're only receiving less than $1,000, then you're still within it. The work has to be casual, minor, and inconsequential, and you can't advertise.
Right. The reason I ask is a friend of mine was saying, hey, Joe, I hate painting. I got a guy who needs to paint a room. Will you paint this room for me? It'll net you $400. And I'm thinking, well, I have a full-time job. I don't necessarily need a side job. I just want to make sure that he's above board, I'm above board, keeping it in the realms. My uncle's been a GC forever, and I agree with proper licensure protects the homeowner as well as the contractor. So,
yeah, as long as it's not a pre-1978 home and you're disturbing any paint, then you get into the lead side of it.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to make sure. It's one of those gut check things. And ironically, I turned on the radio and there's Eric talking to you. It's like perfect, perfect opportunity. So.
Great, Joe. Hey, man, thanks for listening around the house. And, of course, thanks for calling in. That's a great question because it's funny. I mean, I can get on the internet, and you've seen this as well, Stan. We'll have to go out to break here in a minute. But I don't know how you guys do it because I don't have to look far to find an unlicensed contractor out there trying to do their stuff.
I have an awesome team, and they can literally find anybody anywhere.
I like that. You're from the government. You can find them anywhere.
We know where you live.
I love it. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this because this is a hot subject. And I want to get your calls at 877-733-1011 just as soon as Around the House returns.
Every time that you are around me, my heart practically pounding. I get a little of this, little that I'm
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. Of course, we're playing a little bit of Jade there. Love that kid. We're talking home improvement, as we always do each Saturday here from noon to 2. And, well, first off, I want to say this segment of Around the House is brought to you by my friends at Western Construction Systems. More rain is here. You have a leaky basement? With any issues like that, call Western Construction Systems. Their integrity of your foundation is their specialty, guaranteed. CCB number 94222. Well, we're talking CCB here. Speak of the devil. We have him here in the room, Stan Jessup. I want to get your calls because we've been talking how to work between contractors and homeowners. Do it within the law. Do it where it's safe for people. And I want to get your calls at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. And one of the things I wanted to get across today is that these guys are real people over here. They are people that are here to help you. They are not, unless you're the habitual offender that are up on their America's Most Wanted list that they have that I want to talk about next. I'm going to tease that ahead here. They're here to help everybody kind of work together and get things done safely and legitimately. And, of course, to protect the consumer, which is a lot of you listen to the show. So, Stan, thanks for what you guys do down there with the CCB. I really like, I've had a lot of good reports from contractors and homeowners about being reasonable, which doesn't always work in government today. And my dad spent his life working for the government, so I know how government works. And not to dog on that, but you guys do a great reasonable job of administrating that, and that's pretty cool.
Well, thank you. I hope so. You know, I spent many, many years in the private sector, so I have a lot of private sector mentality to me, even though I do work for the government now.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I want to talk about I love this. I love the buyer beware section that you guys have of these contractors, and I'm not going to drop names up here, but there are some pretty rough people on here in your top 10 list over on the Oregon CCB page.
We love the buyer beware page. That came about a year and a half ago. And we were just hoping to showcase some of the most frequent offenders working in an area. And since its inception, four of them have actually come in and made arrangements to pay their fines and gotten licensed. So
wow,
total bonus.
That's awesome. So you got guys who went, okay, this is they're playing for keeps and we better turn the ship around a little bit and get it on the legitimate side.
We play each one of them in our lobby as well. So when they're sitting there, it's classic to see someone sitting there trying to get their license and their picture comes up on the board.
I mean, there's a guy on here that is a home inspector, and I'm not going to use any names here, but that fine is $290,000.
Yeah, it's actually over $300,000 now because he's increased his ability to accumulate fines.
Oh no, that's even worse. And there's a lot of good things on here, and there's a lot of things I think as a consumer that you can look at here. And one, be a little forewarned because this is all over the state, and so you've got them for all four corners of the state here that are in here. But it's also just a good buyer beware. I want to stop that conversation for a second and run out here to Bob in Salem. Welcome to Around the House.
Hey,
Bob.
You were checking out, see if you didn't have that size.
Right. Hey, Bob, I'm going to stick you on hold for a second, let you wrap up that conversation. We'll come back to you in a second. So with this, let's jump back here to the buyer beware. I like that there's pictures, there's descriptions, there's things about what they're doing.
Right.
And there are some habitual offenders that you guys have obviously had to go toe-to-toe with that they've just kind of thumbed their nose at you and went, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, they do. A couple of things on there. You'll see fines by the CCB are usually the biggest ones, and sometimes there's homeowner debt on there. That mm-hmm. means they at one time they were a licensed contractor, but that's the residual of what their bond didn't pay out once they got in trouble.
Oh, man.
So I think there's one on there with $500 homeowner debt, which seems pretty minor, but he probably had a $20,000 bond, which paid out, and then the $500 was left over.
Yeah, let's dial back real quick. I want to talk about that for a second. I'm going to get your calls, too, because we are going to run out of time eventually here at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Let's dial it back to the basics here. You know, you've got the license. They've got, we talk about the bond, and we talk about the insurance. Mm-hmm. For the homeowner, what does the bond and the insurance mean? Because I know there's a lot of just kind of basic questions about that. What does that bond do for the contractor that helps protect the homeowner?
Well, most contractors don't even realize what a bond is. It's not insurance. A bond mm-hmm. is a promise. It's a promise that the contractor makes to the bonding company that if they have a problem and they end up with a judgment, then they promise to pay that. If they don't pay it, the bonding company will, but then the contractor owes it to the bonding company.
Okay.
Insurance is, of course, just exactly what we're all familiar with. It's liability insurance.
So if they're down in the basement doing a little bit of renovation and they decide that they're going to dig a trench down in the basement to put the new sewer pipe in and they accidentally collapse the foundation wall in, that's probably going to help out fix that big problem that they just created.
Yeah, that's unfortunately, a lot of the contractor's insurance excludes
stupid things,
yeah. Work that's actually done within the scope of their license.
Gotcha. Okay, so that doesn't as much protect them from that stuff. It's mostly the guy falling off the roof or something like that.
Truck, you know, they knock over a ladder, break a window. It will cover things like that.
Usually. Okay, gotcha. So the accidental, yep. But maybe not the negligence type stuff. That's where the insurance companies don't get. They're insurance companies. They don't like to pay out. Come on.
That's their job.
That's their job. That's how they make money. Nothing wrong with that. So that's awesome. I mean, that's. There's so many people, I think, that don't understand what those basics mean. And mm-hmm. those are the things when you hire a non-licensed contractor that you're not going to get.
Yeah, zero access to any kind of recovery. You know, we try to negotiate that, but if they're not able to do anything, then we're not going to
be
successful.
You can't squeeze that blood out of that turnip if that money's not there. No. And I've seen that. I mean, that's the thing that you've got to be careful with as a homeowner. And I preach this a lot here that I want to just get across before we go out to break in a minute, that if you've hired that guy off of Craigslist, and I buy stuff off Craigslist, nothing wrong with Craigslist, but if you hire that guy that's not licensed and bonded, he's up doing that roofing repair on your roof, fixing that leak around your chimney that you thought was going to be simple, and he falls off, you're the employer now.
Yeah, if Workers' Comp Division decides that that's an employer, you're an employer as a homeowner, you're on the hook for it.
So now you're paying for the life flight out of the street the next door, and that's all on your hook. So you're as a homeowner, your attempt to save $100 or $200 could cost you hundreds of thousands of bucks if you're not careful, and now your insurance is going to be paying for that if you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Hey, when we come back, we'll be taking all your calls at 877-733-1011 because we're only going to have one more segment left of taking calls. So give us a call just as soon as Around the House returns.
Look at me. I got this
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. You know, we talk home improvement each Saturday from noon to 2, and we want you to get in the conversation. 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. So 733-1011. There we go. This segment Around the House is brought to you by Adair Homes, building quality, affordable, custom homes throughout the Pacific Northwest for 50 years. AdairHomes.com. I've got in the studio here the master, Stan Jessup. He's the guy that helps us out with contractors with the CCB. He's a listener of the show, and he is in here helping us today help you hire a contractor and help you understand the rules if you're you know, a contractor and a homeowner and all these things. We want you all to play together really nicely and everybody just get along. That's what we want to see today. Well, hey, we got a call here. I want to go out to Bob in Salem. Welcome to Around the House.
Thank you very much. I'd like a question for Stan.
All right. What you got?
Okay. An individual loans money to a contractor, and the contractor does not pay you back. I think you can go legally, but does the contractor board have a way of helping collect money that a contractor might owe to a homeowner?
No, we wouldn't be able to pursue that one simply because it's not really for construction. It's just a personal debt.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, Bob. Thanks for listening, man. We appreciate you.
Great job.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate you calling in. That's the thing with you guys. I know that there's a broad brush with that, but you're all about work being done and maybe not personal debt so much on that point of it.
No, things like cost of a product, we can't get involved with those either.
And that's so arbitrary as well. It's like when we had that earlier caller about what's fair and reasonable.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that could be a debate of fair and reasonable. You guys could spend all your dollars or your whole budget on trying to figure out what's fair and reasonable. But that's why we always recommend, at least I do, and I'm sure you do as well, of getting multiple quotes, looking at multiple jobs, and really, really doing the basics with that.
And a written contract, so you know what you're paying.
You know, and that's one thing that I see, and I want to get your calls here, 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. As a designer, when I see another contractor, and I'm not a contractor, nor do I try to be one, but as a designer in my design work that I used to do, when I'd work with contractors that were doing the work, I would want to see, I always, to be honest, didn't work with contractors and if I looked at their contract, that was one of the things before I'd even work with them I'd want to see. Because if it's not describing the work that needs to be done, who's supplying the materials? I can't tell you how many people I've talked to out there in the around the house world here that have hired a contractor to do a kitchen remodel. And it says, it's like a paragraph. I'm going to, remove and replace cabinets. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But it doesn't say anything about materials. They sign the contract, they get going, and they didn't realize that they were going to be the parts runner and had to go to Home Depot or Lowe's or wherever else, every big box store out there to go buy their cabinets, appliances, and whatever else. They never had that conversation, and that's always tough when it's not defined.
I call it setting expectations on both sides. The contract defines what the contractor's going to do, when he's going to do it, how he's going to get paid, and what materials he's going to use. And you want that to be as detailed as possible, both for the contractor and for the homeowner. Homeowner expects to get marble countertops, and they end up with marble laminate. Specify the materials in there. And if the contractor doesn't, when I have work done in my own home, I make them go back and rewrite the contract, telling me exactly what you're going to do for what I'm going to pay you.
Yeah, that's what protects the contractor. That's what protects the homeowner. And that is your signed communication tool that sets those expectations.
Exactly.
And I recommend that if you've got a handyman coming over that you guys are going to write something out. I don't care if it's on a piece of paper that you've got going on. It's a handwritten form. Hey, I'm going to have you do this, do that. If you guys are talking price, you better get it written down.
Yeah, the law says you have to have a written contract for construction work, anything over $2,000. I recommend anything over $2.
Yeah. Well, because, again, it just comes down to expectations for people out there. And I don't care if you're in Washington State listening to us up there or down here in Oregon, have that written out and everybody's going to be fairly well protected that way because it doesn't give a chance for anybody to redefine things.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing, especially when you're dealing with remodeling, maybe you're not going to know everything that's in that wall. And I've seen homeowners and contractors to debate that out, but if you're hiring a contractor, they should probably pretty much know what's going on behind that. And if they don't, sign a contract for an inspection part of it and then redefine it afterwards.
I see two major deficiencies in contracts. They're either the contractor makes the time schedule too tight, mm-hmm. where there's no flex in there for weather or other problems, or there's just no information there.
Yeah. And
you can prosecute or you can go to court on a verbal contract, but it's pretty sketchy.
Well, yeah, it's that's the world of he said, she said, as they say. And that's a tough one. And if it's a verbal contract and that contractor is really good at doing verbal contract, it's probably not the first time he's been backed into that corner before. And they're probably fairly well practiced at this point if you're getting into the world of verbal contracts. And it was funny. I was sitting there this last weekend after the show, and Julie, my son, was in town here, and we started watching Catch a Contractor on Amazon. And you and I talked a little bit about it, and Skip's called into the show, and we started watching it. And if you want to see, and I'm not telling anybody to buy a show on Amazon, but if you want to see what happens when you don't do this right and you're a brand new homeowner, go watch that show. Because I tell you what, you are going to see the hacks of the hacks out there and people really getting taken advantage of. I mean, there was one that we watched where they literally had hired this guy to come in. They paid everything up front, the whole bill. It was a $15,000 kind of addition bathroom thing. And it was only $15,000, which should be your first warning sign. But this guy had come in and had done previous work for him, wasn't licensed and bonded, but didn't realize when they put the flooring down, it was a slab on grade house, that the plumbing was leaking from the prior job. And the flooring was warped. They had to actually stop the project and have black mold cleaned up because it was leaking in the walls and coming up through the concrete. And it was a hot mess. And their daughter had health effects from the previous bad work being done. This isn't just somebody getting, you know, screwed for out of their money and having a bad job done. There was actual legitimate health effects that were measurable from the mold coming up from that. And that's the consequences of not doing the basic homework.
Yeah, there's so many horror stories out there. Most contractors do a good job.
Yeah, they do. No question.
Really, the complaints that we have that we end up mediating are probably in the 1-2% range.
Yeah. And I don't like, and I will say this, and I want to say it publicly before we go to break. I'm a huge fan for the contractors out there, because most of them are amazing people out there. It's the ones out there that are giving these guys a bad name that I like personally going after on the radio. These are the guys that I like dogging just because they hurt so many people. And then there's so many great people in the trades out there that take the brunt of it for being, oh, you're just a contractor, you know. I don't like that out there, and that's part of the thing that I like to
send them to me. We'll put them on the buyer beware page.
I love it, and we will. Well, when we come back, we're going to wrap up this show here. I might be able to fit in one call if you're quick at 877-733-1011 just as soon as Around the House returns. Around the house. Gotta have a little Neil as a show closer here today. Happy I got to see him when he came through town. That was a great way to end his little thing and get to go to the show. Welcome back to Around the House. We've been talking to Stan Jessup here from the CCB, and I want to go out to one last caller here. But before I do that, I want you to come down and join me next week at the Spring Home and Garden Show. I'm going to be out there broadcasting live from the show. Head over to Pyramid Heating and Cooling's booth, because I'm going to be over there. Come say hi. Come be a part of the show. Come hang out with us. Might even put you on the air if you got a question. So why don't you come over there? I'll hand you a mic, and we'll get your question, and you can do it live with me at the show. So noon to 2 next weekend, I'll be down there doing that. So that'll be a good time. Hey, Don, welcome to Around the House.
Yeah, this is Don from Pebby, Oregon.
Yes, sir. What can I help you with?
I had a well driller like 3 years ago. I had a contract with him to put the well in for 12 there's wells around my place that have water at 100 and some feet, and then a lot of them are at like 300 feet. So by the time he got done and had his, you know, his well drilling thing stuck for like 3 days. And finally got it pulled up because the water on top of it couldn't get it up. And so they brought in a concrete truck. And
all right.
And
so yeah, my question for you, Don, was it's going to come down to this. So, Stan, we're going to run out of time here really quickly, and I want to get to this to answer your question. What did your contract say? It
said $12,000.
Did you have a change order?
No.
So it didn't
never
say
anything after that.
And there was no discussion if you had to go any deeper, it was like additional or anything like that in the contract?
No. No.
What's your comment on that, Stan?
Never.
Well, it really becomes a civil issue. There's nothing, as I've said before, we can't get involved in pricing issues.
Mm-hmm.
You could file the complaint. You're going to end up going to probably small claims court to recover what you can there. It's cheaper than going to circuit court.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know what? He was a friend of mine, and I didn't want to do that to him. And so, you know what? I mean, I just want to make sure people beware of what can happen if you're putting a well in.
That's what we were talking about with contracts. Make sure that they're very, very succinct with what your work is, scope of work is.
Thanks, Don. Thanks for calling in to Around the House, man. We really appreciate you listening as well. And we got a few minutes left here. But what I want to say is that those change orders can be a problem.
That's called a meeting of minds.
Yes. And that's the thing. And if as a contractor, and it's always tough because you're in the middle of a job, I've always recommended to contractors in the classes that I've given to have a notepad of your change order forms. If you can get them in a one-page deal with a back printed page on it or whatever, that you got a tear-off sheet for your guys in the field, if you can write that out and have somebody sign it before you get on the work, that protects everybody.
Absolutely, especially if you can price it out, because most homeowners aren't going to sign something that's blank. So give them a cost estimate.
Yeah, say, hey, this, even if you put in a not to exceed or something like that.
Sure.
Come up with something on paper to communicate so everybody is there. So we got about 45 seconds. Stan, what's the best way for people to find you guys?
You can our website is oregon.gov/CCB, or you can call our office. The main line is 503-378-4621, but you can call directly, go to the website, and you can get the enforcement number or the dispute resolution number. And don't get too involved with time and material contracts.
Exactly. Well, man, we got to head out here, but you know something? Thanks for coming and taking the time on your Saturday. I know you guys are busy, but I appreciate what all you guys do down there in helping to protect the public and helping educate the contractors on how to better do what they do. Well, that's all the time we got for this week. Our thanks to Mixmaster Dane Vodder for making the show sound great. And of course, Donovan Sargent, who rocked the Communications Center. Most of all, though, we want to thank you for listening. We want you to join us next week from 2:00. From the Home and Garden Show, where once again we talk about maintenance, repair, designing, for modeling, and a renovation of your home. Come on down and see us. And until then, be sure you do what you love and love what you do. This is the Radio Northwest Network. I'm Eric G., and you've been listening to Around the House.
Around the House with Eric G. is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with Design by Eric G. LLC. All rights reserved. Copyright 2017. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast on AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with chalk, and cut with an axe. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
We're all over the radio.
Hey folks, Jim here, producer of Around the House Show. You're loving the audio tips right now, but here's something new. Our full-length episodes and expert interviews are now on YouTube as video, so you can watch the demos, tool close-ups, and guest interviews, or just hit play and listen like a regular podcast. Just search Around the House Show on YouTube, hit that red subscribe button, and turn on notifications. It's free, and you'll get the best of both worlds, visual how-tos when you want them, audio when you're on the go. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app, too. Thanks. And now back to the show.